We'll start out with the story, and then we'll see where we'll go from there. It's a tshuva from Rabbi Isha, which I have printed up for you here on that sheet, with my little handwritten notes on the side, with comparisons to what other Paiskim say on the points that he raises over here. The story was, once upon a time, a long time ago, in 1960, that a Rabbi Dickstein was approached by, let's call it a summer camp, to, besides being Malami during the year, to give you a job to teach the kids in camp so-and-so during the summer, which for Rabbi is an excellent extra parnasa. And Rabbi Dickstein was indeed interested, but somehow the conversation was not clear. And the Rebbe thought that the Menahel was going to get back to him, and the Menahel thought that the Rebbe was going to get back to him, but was left a little bit unclear what was supposed to happen next. So meantime, nothing happened. So Menahel went and interviewed and hired someone else instead, one of Rabbi Dickstein's other friends, let's say a co-Rebbe. And when Rabbi Dickstein found out about, he said, "My friend, you know, you knew I was also approached by that. We all spoke over there in the coffee room. And you went and he took out from under me, 'You're on him, Haba Karara, you can't do that.'" And the friend said, "Well, take back the coffee room. Take back the coffee room. I didn't know that," maybe he did. "He didn't know about that I was involved, but he didn't know that you had concluded anything, that you had discussed anything, that you were holding by any kind of piece of dumim. I didn't know that you were even still under consideration. I thought that, in fact, now the Manal is coming to me, I guess he must have finished with you, whatever reason it fell apart. And therefore, I thought that was an open field. So I accepted it. So therefore, I didn't purposely, knowingly, take it away from you. So when it's only Mahabakarara, when I didn't know that I was your being Mahabakarara, I thought you already had retired and you were already out of contention, then no longer under consideration. So then now I thought I was fair. So when I did it b'shogeg, when I did it without knowing that I'm being taking something away, maybe then the whole lacha doesn't apply." So this is the question that they raised. And they both agreed, "We'll send the shaila to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and we'll go according to what he says." So before we look to see what the Igros Moshe paskens, let's just think for ourselves. What do we think about that?
Similar to the case in the Gemara, actually.
Oh, the story in the Gemara. Let's chaz over a little bit. Last week, the Gemara in Gedushin says, what was the story? That Rabbi Abba was considering, Rav Gittel, right? Rav Gittel was considering buying a particular piece of land. And in the meantime, Rabbi Abba came along and bought it. And Rav Gittel then was boxed out, so he went and complained to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira went and spoke it over with Rabbi Zanavcha. Rabbi Zanavcha said, wait, they'll come to us by the Yomtov time. And then Rabbi Zanavcha posed to him this question: "What do you say about Onim Abakarari?" He says, "Nikarashi." He said, "Of course it's Aser." "So why'd you do it yourself?" So he says, "Lo Hava Yadana, I was not aware that Rav Gittel was over here involved whatsoever. I was totally unaware of his involvement." So Rav Yisanafka didn't let him go. He says, "Well, Hashanami Nes with the Hilimar. So how about giving it back now? Now that you do know about it, you should give back to him." So then they got into the issue about, "I'm willing to give it to him for free, but I'm not willing to sell it to him. He doesn't want to take it for free. He only wants to buy it." So Mele became a no man's land in between. That was the end of the story. So here the Gemara is talking about this, specifically about a case that the one that bought it was unaware that the first person was considering it, was pursuing it. Rav Abba was unaware of Gittel. And therefore, he wasn't certainly Nigger Russia, Chas V'Shalom. He wasn't doing anything knowingly wrong. But Rav Yisanavka didn't let him go. He said, "Well, now you got to give it to him." Oh, that's the issue.
It must be, otherwise he would have to sell it back to him and not give it to him.
If it was...
If it's not a Midas Chasidus, but it's a Menadim, he would have to sell it to him. Because this way nobody got it, so he lost out anyhow. So he would have to sell it to him.
Not necessarily, because the he's not mechuyev to hurt himself, or to...
So his defense, Rabbi Abba, is, "I'm giving it to him for free. Let him take it. I'm willing to give it to him and walk away." He has his own midas chasidus of sonim atanas yechia. Ich bin schuldig because he wants to be a frumak. I want to be a frumak also. So each one has their own frumkeit. I have a din to give it to him. I'm willing to give it to free. Does it din I have to take money? I don't have to take money. I have to let him have it. He's welcome to have it. He doesn't want to take it for free. That's his problem. But who wants to buy it? I don't want to sell it. That's my problem. So this gets into the issue. Can you view this as being a midas chasidus or a mitzvah din? So this is really the heart of the issue that he's coming to address. And some of that heart I cut out over here, by the way, for brevity's sake. But I'll tell you what he says anyway. So this is the shayla posed to Ramesha. So Ramesha says, first of all, before we even talk about the sugyas of Gemara, you take a look at Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Reish Lama Zion, right, and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, it says that Adim HaBakar, it's also Nikar Rasha, right, the Machlokes Rashi and Remeinu Tam, about if it's even by a Metzia, or only by something that you could get somewhere else. Right, no one says it's only dafka if it's Yediyah, not if you're not a Yediyah. And if you found out about it afterwards that you don't have to return it, no one makes such a chiluk up and down all the paiskim, the smile, the shak, the tshuva, all the paiskim, the major paiskim in the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, no one's mechalik. Everyone says, just says it's tam. So it must be therefore that there's no chiluk. That's the first thing he starts with. Then he says the sugya. The sugya is mamash the makor of the sugya, and it says it by a case that he didn't know, and there it says it's nikar rasha. So there we have that it's nikar rasha even by when you don't know. Now, it wasn't nikar rasha then, but he was still said you have to give it back. Then he gets mamash into this discussion that we just went on over here between the chaverim, that maybe this is midas chasidus, and in fact it has to be midas chasidus because it can't be midas din, because if it would be midas din then you would have to sell it to him because you have to be able to rectify the wrong that he did, and then you don't have a right to be machmer on your frumkeit, then you have to do the ikar din, which is return it to him, and therefore the chayra is mashma that it wasn't midas din, it was only midas chasidus, and if it's midas chasidus then I have a right to be machmer on such a thing. But then in the next paragraph he says, I just, you know, take a look at the couple pieces that I have underlined in the paragraph starting with Avshiyesh Lahak Ksas Lahak Shais, that if it was Mamash Asu Min Adin for Abba to keep it, then how could he say I don't want to sell it because of Epes Afrumkeit? He should have to do an Arbi Masakin. There shouldn't be a Rasha. That should be more important. El Mash Lachar from that Ksas to Medina Kevin Shlo Yada Lo Hay Mukhiyev Lahak Zira the Rav Gittel. It must be from there you see that if it was a Shogeg, you're not Mukhiyev on it. Ella, it's only mitzad midas chasidus, and therefore he wasn't mukhiyah because of that to do something that was not consistent with his own midas chasidus. And everybody's saying, "I'm willing to give it back for free, but not for sale." This is what he considers saying, but then he backs in the next paragraph, backs away from that. He says, "No, I don't accept that pshat. Nira de eno klum. That's not right. The midas chasidus lo hoya toveya Rabbi Yitzchak Davka Rabbi Abba." The Rebbe over here, Rabbi Yitzadavka, the senior sage, that afterwards was asking him, what's pshat? Why'd you do this? And you made a mistake. Okay, then you got to give it back. He wouldn't be moaning him like that if it was only Midas Chasidus. That you have to give it up. If he's demanding that of him, then it must be then that he's saying that that's okay. A bezin has the right to demand of it, a person. And that must be like, Yimuchuyim Miradin. Mash Medinahu. Ah, below Yada, even though you didn't do it purposely and knowingly, and then no one's going to blame you. But now that you find out about it, Im Yishar Karka, Shehava Bor Gidl, then you're still going to have to give it back, but I didn't.
Isn't there another Gemara that we had in a different shir, where I think it was Rav Kahana, maybe? I don't know.
Go ahead.
Where he was trying to make the other Amara do be as he was Tagayan.
Right. Correct. So that's the piece that I cut out and skipped because it's a longer piece, it wouldn't fit on the page. And it's tangential. It's a discussion of the Gemara of Bamasiya Pei Gimel, where whoever it was, I forgot right now, Robert McCullough, someone that had these porters that were carrying some barrels and they dropped and they broke it, and Hanu Shakuloi. And therefore they didn't complete their job, so he didn't want to pay them. So they went to Rav, and Rav said that you had to pay them for their have to pay for the work that they for the damage that they did, and in fact you have to pay them for their day's work as well because Laman Yela Uderot Tovim and there tzadikim yishmor, whatever the pasuk over there is, that you have to do a midas chasidus. So you see from there, the Mordechai brings in, Brahma brings in another place, that you see kavod amidas lefnei mishuras din. So over here also make a midas mishuras din. So Ramesha over here has a piece on that sugya. And he says, what's pshat? You can't be kaif over there, midas chasidus. Midas chasidus means it's not for you to tell me what to do about that. He says over there, the pshat that Gemara, why you could be kaifa, is because these people were aniyim. They said, Gemara says over there, we worked all day long, and we're hungry, we have nothing to serve our families. That's why they came with a taina. So he said, then there's a lacha of being kaifa al staka, that I have a right to be kaifa you on staka. And then that I have a right to be kaifa you, that you have to do it. I should be kaifa the whole year, go around and collect from you, since you're directly involved with them, you're the first one that I'm going to hit, and I'm going to make you have to therefore do al settle staka of it. That's why he learned that sugya over there. Otherwise, he wouldn't hold that you're kaifin. Now, that's a big chiddush. It's not the pashup shot l'chayr of the sugya. And I think other posts can bring from there. You see that you're kaifin. I'll have Nimbish was dead. But I'll maybe back him up in a different way. And that is that if you go to your Rebbe, if Rabbi Rabbanah goes to his Rebbe, Rabbi says, Rab, what should I do? So Rab says, you're a tzaddik. You're a Talmud Chacham. You're a Adam Gadol. Right, from you, I expect better. So I could demand of you not only din, but also the Nimbish was din. Over here, Rabbi Abba didn't ask Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka anything. Right? The Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka is coming on top of him, number one. Number two is that where's the complaint over here? That when Rav Gittel went and complained to Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira went and forwarded the complaint to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, I'll take care of it yontov time. There's no room for a complaint. There's a derech of a Rebbe telling a Talmud, you have to do Levnei Merisha Zadim because you're a tzaddik. And there's a tzaddik has to have a different hanaga. That's maybe something a Rebbe could tell Tom, and maybe a Bezin could say to a person that comes in front of them as well. Because we're right now in charge of telling you what you have to do. This is what you have to do, Al Pi HaTorah. But to make a complaint, where's the other person now say, I have a complaint means something that I'm entitled to, something I have a schus in. A Lefnei Merisha's Din is not a tefiyah of the other person, it's a tefiyah on the one that has to do Lefnei Merisha's Din, but it's not the other person is entitled to anything, they're not entitled to anything. The porters aren't entitled, and the Rabzeira over here, where's this whole complaint going from one to the other? So that supports Ramesha's thesis to say that I believe this Gemara is talking about Ikra Din and not Midas Chasidus. He goes in and on his way, and he's befalp on that sugya over there in Bamatsia, and I would maybe go with a little different approach if I want to get to the same point and saying that it's Din and not Lepidu Mishos Din. But this is the approach that he uses. I wrote down on the side over here that the Divrei Gaonim, which is a 150 year ago kibbutz of psakim of Achrayim on Chayshe Mishpat, brings down the Knesset Gdaila, also says that for this Gemara has to be min adin and not the Lefnei Merisha's Din. The note on top, by the way, is background information. It's worthwhile knowing that the Pisgei Tshuva over here brings down the Berheitev. The Berheitev over here brings down that there's a discussion in Rishonim about by a classic case of a real bona fide Ani Mahabib Kharara situation where he took it and he's a Rasha. So is there grounds right now to go to Bez and say then force him to give it back to me? Okay, he's a Rasha. He did something wrong. But halachically speaking, the first one was not Kainit. Ani was not Kainit. The Chaytev, the one that chapped it, was Kainit. And it's his. It was not nice what he did. It's very, very not nice what he did. Whatever way you want to describe it. But luckily it is. He doesn't owe it to him. He didn't steal it from him. Does he owe it back to him? So Rishonim bring down, the Dvar and the Ramban bring down, Rabbeinu Tam paskind, that he has to be machzer it. He has to return it. And the Rishonim argue on that. The Dvar and the Ramban both argue on that. And they say that they told him to return it, and they got into this discussion about, I don't want to sell it, it's all business. But it's not something that Bezin made an action of collection to force him to do anything. The Rishonim disagree with this. And the Pisgei Tshuva brings down Tshuva's Marashal right over here that says a fascinating lashon about Rabbeinu Tam. So it's a worthwhile idea anyway to put in your pocket. So it brings down Tshuva's Marashal. This is over here at Pisgei Tshuva locally over here in Reish Lamed Zayin, that's our Siman, Sivkot and Beis. Brings on the Tshuva's Marashal. Shekasa b'zeh halashay. V'tom ma'aniyam yatsa dar b'zeh mipi Rabbeinu Tam Zal. I even wonder whether Rabbeinu Tam ever said such a statement. Because you know who Rabbeinu Tam was? Listen how the Marshal describes Rabbeinu Tam. Shel moli nishtakha terem mi Yisrael. If Chaz Shalom, all the terror would have been forgotten by Klal Yisrael, hechzira bil pilpulo. He, Rabbeinu Tam, because of his lumdus, would be able to put together, rebuild all the terror that we have. Like it says, Asnil ben Kenaz was able to put together with pilpulo 3,000 halachas that were lost, halachos Rasina in the days of Avelish and Maisha. Rabbeinu Tam had that kayak, he could put back the whole terror together if everyone else forgot about it. He knows, call the terror cool, Rabbeinu Tam. How could he have said such a statement? V'yishke bezeh. And therefore, I don't even believe Rabbeinu Tam said it. But anyway, the Haskamas HaPaiskim is that there's not Chayav L'Hakzir Min Adin. But even so, it's still Nikra Rasha. And since it's Nikra Rasha, the Pesach Yeshiva goes on and brings down that the Kadmonim, the Marshal, the Maranach, Kedesa Gedela, other early Paiskim, Maram Rutenberg, no less than one of the Gedela Arishanim, Rebbe of the Rush. But Maram Rutenberg says that you could be Machrez on him, Barabim, by Beis Knesses, that he did a Maisa Resha, right, to Lahachlimo, to embarrass him, until he'll realize that Lozu Aderach is unacceptable. We can't make an actual Bezdin action, a court legal action, to be able to collect it from him. And even as Biyad the Bezdin Lahanishai, to Kansa him. But it's certainly a Resha, it's certainly something you have to rectify. And therefore, Ramesh is numbing on over here. That it's Chayav L'Hachzir, that you would have to give it back, Min Adin, and therefore Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka has a right to demand of Rabbi Abba, you better give it back, even without going like Rabbeinu Tam, that we could collect it, but it's still in order to be able to not be a Rasha. Even B'Shogeg, you did a Maisa Rasha B'Shogeg, let's say you stole B'Shogeg, right? It's not my fault, I made a mistake. But even so, you took the wrong Renko, you still have to bring it back and return it to its proper owner. So therefore, Moshe comes on that this is Min Adin, and therefore you see that Min Adin, even by a case of a shogeg, the fact that this guy says that I didn't know that you were still involved, I thought that you were already out of discussions before I took the job, you would still have to give back the job now. He brings down in the Pesachei Tshuva, the next larger paragraph, that the Pesachei Tshuva brings down a tshuva of the Chem Shleimai. Chem Shleimai was the first of the great Rabbanim of Varsha, maybe about 300 years ago. And the Bechem de Shlomo has a tshuva that the Pesach Tshuva brings down over here. The Beshogeg lo yada, ain alav shum din klal. He doesn't have to return it at all. And this Gemara is therefore has to be learned only midas chasidos. And Rami just says, I already told you why I don't sign on to that. I wrote in my notes on the side that the tshuva is Beis Ephraim from Ephraim Zaman Margolius, one of the Gedolei Achronim also. Nems on that, like the Chem de Shleimai, that it's only a Midas Chasidus, but it goes with that to go against the Bnei Yeshua and Pshan Atos over there. It seems to be a dion back and forth in the Chronim, whether it's the Timbershu's Din or Minat Din. And then Ramayja says a very interesting point, a really practical point, which the Beis Ephraim says as well. But Ramayja, you see how he works, and this is a classic Ramayja, a classic Yerush Ramayja. He goes straight to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara. And that's where he develops his sugya. He doesn't go into Tshuvas Achreinim, Rishenim. He doesn't go into all the different Mekayros and say, well, there's five of the Paiskim this way and 17 Paiskim that way, and I have to do a bunch. He goes straight to the Mekor of the sugya, and from there he builds, almost like a Rishen, or like a Kadman of the Achreinim. He's an exception to our generations. He's like someone that lives 400 years ago. He doesn't bring any of these achronim. He doesn't spend a time on that. He goes right down back to the sugya. And he says here an excellent svara. He says that even according to Chem de Shleimai, or even according to anyone that would want to argue and say it was a midas chasidos, which is an alternative that he recognizes how you could possibly learn the sugya, but that's only if you didn't know. Over here, does he have the excuse of saying, I didn't know? The one that did take the job in the summer camp, or whatever the position was aware that his friend Rabbi Dickstein was already approached and was considering it. Then he took from the fact that the Manal came over to him, it must be that the first deal was over and it was over and done, and must be Dickstein's out of the picture, and therefore I went and took it. So you're aware that your friend was already involved in it. So then there's a tiny on them. Call him up. He's your friend. You see him every day in Cheder. call him and say, hey, Dickstein, what about that summer job? Did you get it or not? Are you still involved with it? If you're involved, I'm not going to come and touch it. You could have asked him. You didn't ask him when you could ask him. That means that even if you know about it, you don't care. You're going ahead anyway. That's tantamount to doing it purposely. And therefore, this heter of even if you would hold it, it's a midas chasidus, it's not midas din, that's where you learn the sugya. This will we would don as being, I consider to be. In the sugya itself, Rabbi Abba had no clue that Rabbi Gitta was involved. And there was no indication. They weren't in the same coffee room, and they didn't tell him what he was doing. I just saw a for sale sign. I walked over and said, how much do you want? They put the money down. It was done. I didn't know there was a Rabbi Gitta involved. But over here, where you knew that your chavra, the other Rebbe, was already involved in the case, then you check it out with him first before you go ahead and hop. Not doing so means that you're doing it regardless. You don't care. Then that you're doing it, but amazing.
And no right to make that assumption.
Right.
So what about this woman that you, the Rav talked about?
Right.
She knew that the other woman.
Right, but the reason we're over here is because there's no piece of dummy. That's the next he's going to get to that soon. When they haven't even negotiated, they haven't had an interview yet. Here, Rav Gitta already was already in the last stages. He was ready to come back with the money. He was just going out to the bank to get the money or whatever. Right.
There's one question. The second Rebbe was approached by the, it sounds like from the case that he was approached by the Manal.
Right.
Doesn't that also
go? Well, he has a right to say that I don't want the first, but over here it was a misunderstanding. I thought you were supposed to get back to me. You thought I was supposed to get back to you. Right. But if someone else would be involved, then we would straighten that out. Right. Or if you would just tell me, no, I heard that you're dealing with the first one, you work it out before with them, him first, before I get involved.
Well, why is that piece of dummy?
But this is a different question. We'll deal with Pesach Damim separately. Before we talk about Pesach Damim, like, that lady's case and this case are equal.
I thought that concept of unravel okaroi means that you don't instigate it. But once it's being instigated by the Baal Bas, why would you? It just sounds like you're sort of like it's not the case anymore. It's your business. You're approaching me. I'm not doing the Maisa anymore.
You're raising a good point. The question that he's asking is that even by case of Mahapa Karara, when the, let's say, buying and selling a house, so the homeowner is negotiating and is just about closing a deal with a prospective buyer, then someone else is not allowed to come in and say, hey, homeowner, let me give you another contract. Or, there's someone else over here, you stay out of it. That's the classic case, right? But if the other aspiring buyer doesn't go and mix himself in, but the owner calls up and says, agent, do you have any more buyers? I want to compare, so I want to shop around. Maybe I have another buyer. Sure, I have another buyer. I have another five buyers. But if the owner is the one that initiates looking for someone else or calls up someone specifically and says, I know you're over here involved in this also. You're also a Rebbe. You're also looking for a house. Give me an offer, right? How about if I sell it to you for a higher price? So if he's doing it, he has a right to break out. Because the truth is the same thing also about the buyer. The first prospective buyer that's considering buying this thing, if he wants to say, you know what, I don't want to buy. I'm going to go buy another house. He hasn't contracted. He hasn't committed himself. Like, it's not even a cost of money. He hasn't given his word. They haven't negotiated a final price yet. So he just walks out and wants to buy another house. He's welcome to. So just like he can walk out of the deal, likewise the seller can walk out of the deal and he can go get someone else instead. It's only an isser on a third party to come and interfere when these people were going to come to an agreement and someone else now coming and undermining it and taking it away. That's when he's blamed for this. So the question's being raised over here that in this case of these Malamdim, it wasn't the other Rebbe that initiated and called up the Benayal and said, hey, could I have the job? But it was the Benayal that called him up and said, let's look over the case in the beginning of the first paragraph. L'chein holach v'sachar eschavercha. The Menial went and hired someone else. And now the first one is tining that he shouldn't have allowed himself to be hired. So l'chaira, since it was the Menial that went out of the first deal, who cares why? Yes, it was because of a misunderstanding. Yes, if that misunderstanding would be cleared up, then they would still get it.
makes no difference if it's for the same amount of money. He's not getting a better
deal. It's not a question of money over here. So the difference is that in the classic case, the owner is making a decision, I don't really want this first deal or first buyer for whatever reason. If I can get a better thing, I'm looking for something better, which usually is a better price or better terms, no contingencies, whatever it might be. So it's his looking for a better situation. Okay, that's his prerogative. But if he's not getting in a better situation, it's just because of a misunderstanding that I thought you're supposed to get back to me and I thought you thought I was supposed to get back to you. So then maybe Ramesha holds, then get that cleared up. If you would have called him up and asked him, what's going on with that job? And I'll say, I thought he was supposed to get it back to me. No, I'm telling you, he's still looking. Why don't you call him back up again? So if that could be cleared up, then you're now saying yes, so you're interfering. You're right, it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. One can possibly mefakfek on this psak on that side to say, I didn't initiate it, don't blame me. The menal came to me, that's his right.
The confusion is that when he thought the Rebbe was going to call him back, Menal thought the Rebbe was going to call him back.
Right.
When he didn't call him back, he thought he wasn't interested. He really wanted him, though.
Right.
Maybe he really wanted
him. There was a mistake. There was a mistake which could be cleared up. But why can't the other one, the second one that did get hired, say, listen, I didn't come over here to interfere. He came over to me. I have a right to say yes. Right? That's a chiddush to say that, well, if you could clear it up, of course, it would be a very, very nice thing to do, but who says, luckily, I'm required to do so, and if I don't, I'm Nikra Rasha. You know, that's maybe a leap away from what this halacha says.
Where does it say from the tshuva who went to who? Maybe the Rebbe?
Read the first paragraph.
Hine.
B'davar ma'asha ata she'echad ha'ya etzlecha b'davar liskor oscha lilmot. Someone wanted to hire you as a show, someone told me to ma'achad b'me'e gayetz. V'ata ch'shavta shu tzarach litin l'chad tshuva b'davar gvaram b'schiros v'hu chashuv sh'ata tzarach litin l'chad tshuva. So what happened? Since we're now both misthinking that each one's supposed to. L'chein halach, therefore this other fellow, the menahel, the hirer, went for sacharas chavercha, and he hired your friend.
But how did he know the friend was available even?
Because you're all rabbis in the same cheder. I could hire any one of you. I'll take the second grade rabbi, third grade rabbi, fourth grade rabbi. They're all good rabbis.
But maybe the friend is the one who went to the menahel.
Okay, if that's the case. What is the one that got hired to defend himself? He says, I didn't know that you're still involved. Even though I know that the Manal already had some conversation with you. But the other guy thought, the second Rebbe thought, since the Manal now approached me, it must be vada hishav lo she'en charotze, then I figured you must have turned it down.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Right, that's why I thought that you were out of the picture, so now it's fair game. So Ramesh is just dealing with that as being a shogeg. But the question is, why don't we say that I'm not initiated? What are you blaming me for?
Is this better or worse than the Gemara's case? Because here he knew that the Rebbe did it, and the Gemara, he didn't know that the other person was
right.
involved, but on this guy, he knew that he'd spoke to him. Over there
right, so that's why Moshe is saying that this is worse, because since you knew that the first one was there, you should go back and call him up and ask him what's going on. If you don't, it means that you don't care. So that's a good answer to that point, which the Beis Ephraim says as well. But this question that's being asked, that I didn't come to interfere, the other third party went in and hired me, which he's entitled to do. So why do I have to go that extra mile? That's beyond what the halacha of the Gemara is. I think that's a very good hara. We have to ask Ramesh that next time we see him.
I'm not in any rush.
I'm in a rush. I want right now. We need chakala b'chol yom shayavai, b'chol kadoshim v'yadecha.
Isn't he answering that by saying that that's the point, that
you
should have gone
and okay, that's a nicety, but I didn't run interference. The whole din over here is don't mix in. But I over here, I was not the mixer, and the menial has the right to do so. So I should have gone an extra mile and said, maybe I could go and get the make shalom between the two of you. You didn't understand him, he didn't understand you. This is a shenazach. I'm not a rav, I'm just a businessman.
So it sounds like not you saying that.
Again, if it's the whole problem is that I thought that you're out, that it's a show gig, so I could clear that, I could find out from my own information, maybe I have misinformation. This is not a question of misinformation. This is not the format in which the Isser applies. The Isser applies for me to now go and offer myself and call him and say, hey, I'm looking for a job, could I get you the job that's available? So the classified. Well, here I didn't call and ask him, he came and approached me. He's allowed to approach me. What happens if he's held him by saying it house to you, and I know that very well, we're good friends, and now then he comes to me and say, would you like to buy my house? I'm allowed to say yes. Because he has the right to go out of the deal. What he did with you, he likes you, he doesn't like you, likes your offer, doesn't offer, that's none of my business. Once he comes out and asks someone else, then that's his choice. It's his prerogative to go look for something else. I have to start asking, why didn't you like my friend? Oh, my friend is this time. Oh, I don't have to get into that. That's Lashon Hara. The Rebbe Nile didn't want the first one. But it's interesting, even the Rebbe didn't say that. The Rebbe didn't say that. He said, oh, I thought that you must have said no. If the Rebbe would have said, I thought that he must have turned you down, I didn't really want to ask him why because they don't want to embarrass you, that maybe would have been a different tshuva. But he answered, the Rebbe said, oh, I thought that you had said no. So Ramai is saying, ask him. That's what it is. That you could ask in the coffee room.
Now ask the boss. Ask the
other Rebbe. Ask the other that's it. That's what he says over here. Right. That is what he says.
Because you wouldn't want to ask him why you didn't get that.
Right. If you thought that the Rebbe that you were turned down, I'm not asking you why you got fired. It's embarrassing. But if I ask you why you turned down the offer, in fact, it's a good thing to find out. If you turn down the offer, maybe there's something I should know before I can take down the offer. Maybe you know something I don't know. So you should have found. Maybe that's his where he's coming from. Since you guys are coming from this fact about I didn't know is not an answer. If your argument is that he approached me, so that's his prerogative. Maybe his shuva would have been a different shuva. Then he raises 2 points. The bottom point is going right now out of order. Gam yesh ladon, that did Ramaskol. He says, since the Ramah paskins, dimhoyu mechusar madayin apsika, if they were too far apart right now in negotiation of a reaching price, they hadn't, I proffered my first contract to buy your house at 150 and you're listing it for 275, right? And you say right away, no, I'm not accepting your contract. So then someone else is welcome to come over and give a contract for 225 and see how that goes, right? So that's perfectly fair, Gare. That's what Ramah says. So over here, maybe you'll say there was no psika. But he said that's only as the Prisha says. They had to have we never had a final deal. Over here, they never got to a final deal. They never really actually made up to doing it. But he says, but the Prisha brought in the Pisgah, which we discussed last week, says that means that the negotiation have broken down, and he turned back your contract and said no, right? But if we're right now holding in serious negotiation and without and someone else getting involved, they'll work it out. That's called Ali Mahapek situation. Over here also, if the third guy would not get involved, then these first two, one of them is going to call back the other one after all. Knew what's going on. It's time for, are you coming or you're not coming? I thought you were going to call me. They would work it out. So something that would work out without someone else getting involved, that's a case of piece of dumbing. The case with the lady that called me, there was no interview yet. There was no even the beginning of a discussion about Pisuk Damim, and that's why over there was no issur of Ani Mahapek Karora. Now the paragraph before that is another interesting point. He says that, as we spoke last week, there's a major machlokes rishonim, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and a number of rishonim on either side that line up, about whether this applies when it's a metzia, a one-of-a-kind kind of situation that's very difficult, if not impossible, but very difficult to find another such a situation. Then Rabbeinu Tam says, and that's fair, we're not telling you not to do that. It's only when you could be matriach and get something else. What do you have to daf get the one that I was matriach already? That's a shtigl midas tam. And Rashi says that even by a metzia or a hefker with something that you can't get another one like this at all, Even so, once I've already put in so much effort to it, it's like it's mine, midrabanan. And now you're yerlumnus chavera, like you're taking away something I've already invested my efforts in, I have a right to it, and you're taking away something I'm entitled to, it's almost like stealing from me, midrabanan. So that's the machlokes Rashi and Beinu Tam. And the both deos are brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah says that the ikar of the lach is like Beinu Tam. So maybe I could say over here, a job like this maybe is a rarity. Maybe there aren't so many jobs. So he says something very interesting to know. You don't have to just check up whether there's another similar teaching situation. Is there another job at all that you could get for a summer job? Maybe you could be a mashgiach in a kitchen and a local caterer. I don't like working in the kitchens. I like working in classrooms, right? So you'll be a summer, you'll be a caterer, a mashgiach. That's what he says over here. Although Efshel is Dr. Yitzchir, you have to check it out, though, whether there was other opportunities, alternatives. Sh'ula yesh lodin kehefker matana shepligya rishem ramah kasuk sham dasvar rishon nira ikar she'ein b'kazeh din mahabit harara kemish el yochalum so b'makayim acher. So if something you can't find somewhere else, if it's a unique, singular situation, then you could be relying on Rabbeinu Tam, which Ramah Paskin says ikar, and then you can't blame the second guy. That's only if there's nothing else that you could do at all. Then Shaykh Loimar, that if Be'er Zoo, I don't have to go move to Kalamazoo. But over here, in this local town over here, if there's any other work that I could find, maybe not working in a kitchen. If there's any other teaching situations, anything else equivalent at all, then it's k'stam pehula, like any other work. You could be a worker over here, so be a worker over there. So that sheyesh b'seg did him b'avach harara. And that, I don't know exactly the logistics of your situation and whether there's other jobs available. Maybe with some tircha, you'll have to commute a little bit further, but maybe there's a job here, there, or the other place. Day camps, overnight camps, I don't know what with different seasons. So that you'll work out between yourselves, you're both Yerush Shemayim, you'll figure that out. This point that he makes over here, I think I find very interesting. Because there's another tshuva from Ramai Shemplin that I want to talk about next week, which talks about Shaduchim, and that comes up a lot. And right, without opening up right now talking about the whole parsha of Shaduchim, one point he says over there is that when you get a very special Shaduch of a chasson or a kala, so that's like a Metziah. That gets into Bachelus, Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam. And there, even when you can be Soymich on Rabbeinu Tam, but he says, but a Yari Shemayim Shri Machber to be Yotzei Deshitas Rashi. There he paskins that you should not be Mekel like Rabbeinu Tam, you should be Machber, even by a Metziah, that you shouldn't be Yotzei Mahavir Karara. In this tshuva over here, he seems perfectly content that if it would fit that criterion, which he says it depends on whether there's other jobs available or not. But if you're both able to determine that there was no other suitable equivalent kind of a job, okay, fine, Rabbeinu Tam, Ramah Paskins, that's Iker. Why over there does he say Yorei Shemayim should be Machber like Rashi? And over here, he seems perfectly satisfied. Rabbeinu Tam, Ramah says, oh, Iker, no problem, okay, then I can't have any tainus. That's a point to ponder. What, any ideas?
Stam Rebbe Zinoni?
Ooh, that's an interesting idea. The our makaris to say that the fnimishu is dindik chumrais, you can't impose on an ani. The Rama says that in can't place a simon right now. Reish nunches. I might go off. Reish in Hilchos Metziah Aveda. The Rama paskins that even though the achar yiyush, you don't have to return an aveda. Like I told you the case of the shipwreck once with they found the stuff. So the Ramah paskins that even so, if the Mishu is a din, you have to be returned an Aveda. But if the one that finds it is an Ani, and the one that lost is an Usher, then you can't require an Ani to do if the Mishu is a din to give it back. What? So he seems to know him. But you have to theorize the other part of it. Masha Enke, when you're going on Shaduchim, right? So you don't have a kala nishkas like a feralach. Right? That's what you have to say, right? Stam bacher bli kala is also a shari b'lo shalom, shari b'lo chayim, shari b'lo teira.
Well, the question is, you're going to be someone else, which won't be as good.
So they're also not going to be as good, right? Let's say I don't have anything at all.
Okay. I think there's no other job here. Right?
So over there, he's dealing with Metziah as a kala is being on the Metziah. Something you can't get similar to that.
The kala, it's a lifetime thing, so you're going to be living the Di'evet for your whole
okay,
life.
Okay, you're good. You could say over there, it's the Chalchila Melchila, you shouldn't do it. Over here, it's Rei Sheng and Tan. Could I make him go and reverse it? Or it could be over there, that's not the way you go into Shaduchim. Shaduchim has been done outside of Yeser Taif. And self goes self, the branch that runs the world, especially in the Nyanim of Shaduchim. That's the branch of Asik, Kodesh Barazi, Yosef, Mazabi, Zavukim, spends time every single day on that. Mashenka over here, in your Panasa, you have to be Machalba to the two sugyas. Anyway, this is a peek into a Paisa Gadol, how he deals with this in a Halach LaMaisa application case, besides the little phone call situation I brought up as well. And these kind of cases pop up, and we have to go back over these same kind of criterion, and that's how we have to decide what's the erlicha thing to do. Next week's plenary shidduchim. Tell all this upcoming to come.